Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Turn, if you will, to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Now, you know, having understanding of the Word of God when it comes to the subject of divine healing and divine health, you know, it comes from the information of the Word and the examples of the Lord Jesus Christ where He walked on the earth and His willingness to heal. You know, the Bible says in Acts 10:38 how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. I didn't see him reject anybody. Amen. And you know, here's the thing. There were many references in the Gospels where it says he healed them all. So in his meetings, he was holding, he's getting everybody healed. Amen. Now, the Bible, according to Hebrews chapter 1, you know, verse 1 says, God at sundry times in diverse manners, spake unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. One of them says, in the language of his Son. Amen. So Jesus is God talking to us. So what is God saying in Matthew? What is God saying in Mark? What is God saying in Luke? And what is God saying in John? And what I mean by the phrase, what is God saying? You know, not the words, but what is the intention of God in communicating to us what he communicated and how he communicated it? You know what he did? You know what he was saying? He said, if you come to me, it's easy to get saved. It's easy to get healed. Listen, being sick is hard. You ever been sick? It's not easy. Being healed is. Getting healed is. Getting well in the natural many times can be very difficult, especially if you go through all types of treatments, medications. But you know, getting healed, many times, it's not like being treated by medicine. There's an element of inconvenience in it. You may have to suffer. See, people don't want that. So they'll do anything not to suffer. You know, there's been some times I've always, and I do teach that for every, you know, situation that you feel like you need to see a doctor, you need to pray first and say, okay, Lord, what is my path of healing? He may send you to a doctor. He may send you to a specialist, or he may tell you to stand in faith. Now, if he tells you to stand in faith, you better get ready because you're going to be inconvenienced and you're going to experience some pain and some symptoms. But in the midst of it, you're going to learn how to fight. A lot of people, the reason that many people don't get healed in an altar setting is they don't have enough fight in them to keep the healing they get. Amen? So God lets them sit in a church, service after service, so they can get some teaching on how not just to get healed, but to stay healed. We use that same phrase when it comes to salvation. Not just getting saved, but staying saved. Not just getting right, but staying right. Well, we ought to bring it over on into the healing realm. Not just getting healed, but staying healed. Listen, the ministry of healing in the church is not God's best. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, we look at these glorious gifts of the Spirit that have to do with the healing of the physical body. Gifts of healing, working of miracles, special faith. All of them are aimed at the human condition, the pain of the body. Why is that not God's best? Because God's best is not needing the gifts of the Spirit in operation in order to set you walking in faith, does it? Growing out of it, does it? If God expected us to stay healed by a healing meeting, then that's all we'd ever have is healing meetings, trying to get people healed. But no. The Word of God has the ability to heal. Just sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, if you would realize it, what does it say over in the book of Proverbs? That His Word is life unto those that find it and health to all your flesh. So you've got to have this thought constantly going on in your mind. Every time I'm hearing the Word of God taught, I'm being healed. That's in my mind. I mean, I ride around listening to people teach on these little thumb drives and stuff they give me, ministers that I love to. And every time I do, I have this thought in my mind. As I'm hearing the Word, I'm being healed. My flesh is being affected by this message right here. You've got to reckon that to yourself. Every time Pastor Rusty gets up and teaches, I'm receiving something from the unseen realm that's having an effect on my natural body. Amen? Because that's what the Word does. But what is revealed to us in the Gospels is the willingness of God. Now that is where denominations and people, and listen, it happens, I don't want to say innocently, but it's an automatic knee-jerk reaction. A lot of the real negative books that have been written against divine healing, and a lot of the negative things that have been said about divine healing have come from people who were involved in divine healing, and either their wife died, or a child died, or a close friend died, or somebody got sick and they believed God and stood in faith and they died anyway. Listen, just because somebody doesn't receive, it's not an indication that God has quit doing something. There's a lot of people that don't get saved. I ought to get a better amen. There's a lot of people that don't get healed. So we have to realize that God is willing. That is one of the greatest revelations that you can have as a believer, that it's not in this sovereignty of God issue. I heard one preacher call that the spiritual Las Vegas. That's what he called it, because that's the way a lot of people think. Well, I'm going to go to the church tonight. I've got this disease. I've got this pain. Maybe God will call me out. You know, maybe someone will have a revelation. No. See, that kind of mentality will never get you healed and keep you healed. It's the Word of God in your own heart, your own spirit, that you can speak and constantly meditate upon, that as you do it, you've got to reckon that Word is healing me. You do it with medicine, and some of it doesn't even work. Amen. I listened to a report the other day. A guy had a need for an antibiotic and had to go three times to get the same antibiotic, and he didn't understand. His doctor didn't understand. The pharmacist didn't understand. Why is it that's working on this guy? The pharmacist checked it out, and they had taken and reduced the volume of whatever that medicine is, that antibiotic, by half, and didn't even tell anybody. This guy had taken three regimens of it, which was hard on his body. You say, what do you mean? Well, thank God for good doctors. Thank God for good pharmacists. Thank God for good scientists. But the bottom line for all of that's money. How much money can we make? How much money can we get? Amen. But God loves you. He cares for you. And He don't want you suffering under the bondage of sickness and disease. Now, I like Mark chapter 5, verse 25, the woman with the issue of blood. That story is on top of every one of my Bibles. It says this, the dynamics of receiving. Because the dynamics of receiving from God, not just healing, but for anything you need from God. One preacher wrote a book out of this one chapter, and the title of the book was How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. Boy, that made people mad. They fumed. They got upset. But he took that one revelation and literally evangelized the world with it. His name was Kenneth E. Hagin. His first book, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. You know, what was amazing about that is God gave that to him supernaturally. Driving down the highway one day, he had to pull over and write all the notes down as God gave him how to write your own 4 points. 1, 2, 3, 4. How to write your own ticket with God. Amen. First you hear, everybody say hear. Then you say, everybody say. Then you do, everybody say then you do. Then you receive, everybody say receive. Amen. Now notice, let's read it real quick. Verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. Now that really paints a picture of what can happen to anybody. You know, I had something happen to me. We were holding meetings up in College Station, Texas, years back in the 90s. And a particular church there I was going to and doing Sunday through Wednesdays, two services a day. And a particular family in the church had a girl who had some problem with her heart. And the family had just come and visited the church a couple of times, but the pastors really felt they need to reach out to this family, minister to this family. And I agreed with them. So during one of the meetings, they said, well, we have to be in Houston with this family. You just take the meeting, make yourself at home. We'll have somebody take care of you. So that all took place and happened. So about 5 in the afternoon, after we did our morning meeting, the phone rang and it was that pastor. So how'd your meeting go? How'd your, you know, was everybody, everything? And he said, the saddest thing. I said, what happened? He said, we were there. We really didn't want to tell you what was going on, but we were there because they were literally kicking this family out of the hospital. Their insurance had run out. They'd spent $1 million. They had $1 million cap on their insurance, and they were showing them the door. Amen? Well, I mean, that shows you right there. There's no compassion. There's compassion in the doctors, but there's no compassion in the system. Amen? But now Jesus, He is God's manifestation of compassion. And everywhere He went, He made Himself available. You know, the glory that was upon Him, He had the Spirit of God without measure. That must have been a tangible thing. When you got a full dose of the Holy Ghost, I mean, when that entire, you know, two entities of the Godhead were joined together in Christ. Whoa. But still, he couldn't go around and heal everybody. You say, why? Because there's people that wouldn't be healed. In his own hometown, the Bible says he couldn't do any mighty works. At least he lay a hand on a few sick. The Greek says, unless he lay his hand on a few people with minor ailments. He could have done miracles, signs, and wonders, but they wouldn't accept him. They knew who he was. Isn't that Joseph's son, the son of Mary? Destroyed their faith. But here's this woman. Look at what she had gone through for 12 years. Physical, mental, financial, spiritual attack. But when she heard, man, this dynamic of hearing. I think if there's anything that I could do supernaturally to people, it would be to open their ears to hear. Not to put $1 million in your pocket or deliver you from some dread disease, but to just open your ears so when the word is preached, you don't listen, you hear. Amen? And when you hear, here's what listening reduces the word of God to a story. Hearing elevates it to an instruction manual. Now think about that a minute. Hearing it elevates it not to a do's and don'ts list, not to a bunch of thou shalt nots, but there are some absolutes in the word of God that if you will obey them, it will produce enormous supernatural ability in your life. Get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, walk in the Word of God, and you will walk, as we preached this morning, in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That lust is not just speaking about the flesh lusting for drugs or alcohol or some immoral act. It actually talks about the flesh lusting for anything, like a disease or pain, anything that the flesh lusts for. Amen? The Bible says walk in the Spirit. You won't experience that. So, here's this woman, and I don't know why, we'll find out in heaven, but of all the people that were listening to Jesus, she was one that did not listen but heard. Amen. Now notice this. When she had heard of Jesus, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press and touched his garment, second dynamic, for she said. What she heard, she began to say. And what she heard and said began to paint the picture of what she was supposed to do. She began to say. I know one translation says she began to say to herself. That might have been because there was nobody else to say it to because she was an unclean woman. She had to go around and tell everybody, unclean, unclean, away, away, I'm unclean. Amen? So she must have just started saying it to herself. When I touch his clothes, I'm going to get whole. When I touch his clothes, I'm going to be set free. When I touch his clothes, this is going to be over. Now, just the chapter before, if you go study, Jesus was in a meeting and people were coming up and touching him and being healed. So the testimony of that must have gone around. Hey, man, I saw people in that meeting. They were just going up and grabbing his garment and the power of God was going into them and healing them. That story is in Mark chapter 3. Then he comes to Caesarea and all of a sudden, Jairus captures his attention, says, I got a daughter that's died. Off he goes. He has no intention of finding some woman with an issue of blood. He's on his way to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue's house. I mean, he was eager to go. Let's go and I'll heal her. That's what he said. So they're on their way, and I'm sure their pace was quickened. You know, Jairus probably made sure of that. Let's go. Be dawdling around, you know. And all of a sudden, he's walking along with Jairus and a crowd. And Jesus just stops and turns around. He just stops and turns around. Amen. Something, now we'll see what it is in a moment, but something stopped him and turned him around. Now notice, it says, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away, one translation says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. Now notice this, she felt. Everybody say felt. Say felt. That many times is our intention, our indication that it's working. Well, if I could just feel it. If I could just feel it. But notice, before she ever felt, she heard. She said, and she walked on that street and touched his garment. She did. Three things came before her feelings. Amen. What if you've got to hear and you don't feel nothing? What if you've got to speak and make confession and you don't feel nothing? What if you've got to act on your faith and then you don't still don't feel anything? That doesn't mean it's not working. I said, that doesn't mean it's not working. I mean, she heard, she was still having an issue. She began to speak, she was still having an issue. She went onto that street. Could you imagine what that was like for her? A weakened condition of being basically anemic, bleeding out day by day. And she walks on. She's not elbowing her way through some crowd. Get out of my way. I'm going to Jesus. I tell you, she's probably stumbling. She's probably getting knocked to the side. But she just kept going and kept going and got to the hem of that garment. And what she believed in her heart and confessed with her mouth, what happened? What she believed, what she said is what happened. I've heard people get up and preach, you can't do it that way. That was just for the Bible. That is not true. There's no disclaimer on that. Little asterisk on the side. But Jesus said, this doesn't work for everybody. It's not there. Some old preacher will tell you that. Amen. But no, that's not true. It's not there. She was healed by the power of God. Are you ready for this? Outside of the peripheral of Jesus to heal her. He was not looking to heal her. She was looking to be healed. And notice, Jesus, let's read it, because this is very interesting. Jesus said, straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, now notice, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now the healing anointing, there's a tangibility to that. I know many times if I'm ministering under the healing anointing, I can feel the power go out of me. Literally sense it. And I felt it go out and come back in. Go out and come back in. Sometimes I'll linger and see if the Spirit of God's trying to do anything, help me, correct, do anything like that. Sometimes I'll have to address fear. Sometimes I'll have to maybe address something else. But sometimes the Lord just says, move on down the road. Move on down the road. I mean, that always kind of grieves me when that happens. But the power was there. The power, you got to understand, church, the power is here. It's not in me. It's not in you. It's in Christ. And God puts him in us. There's enough power of agreement here to get anybody healed of anything. But you have to believe that. You have to enter that by faith. Her hearing, listen, produced what listening could not. Hearing produces what listening cannot. How many of you listened in school? Most of you did. How many of you remember what you listened to? Amen. But the things you heard, you still remember. Every one of you probably had a teacher that instructed you correctly and showed you something line upon. Many times it was probably like a math teacher or something to do with something technical. And finally, you struggled with that and struggled till all of a sudden the light come on. You thought, I get it now. I get that. I was like that with multiplication because I learned addition and subtraction. Well, you know, we'd draw the little stick men. 1, 2, plus 1 equals 3. But that didn't dawn on me when it came to multiplication until I understood it. You see what I'm saying? The same thing is true of the Word of God. A lot of times it just doesn't dawn on you. It just doesn't dawn on you till you hear it. Then when you hear it, it dawns on you. Oh, yeah. That's what I need to say. That's what I need to do. That's where I need to go. That's how I need to act. That's how I need to receive. See, this is so simple. She literally heard, said, did, and received. Heard, said, did, and received. Heard, said, did, and received. Why would you want to complicate that? Who complicates it? Satan. He comes to your mind when you start saying, well, Lord, that's all I need. That's all I need. That's it. I'm going to hear. I'm going to say. I'm going to do. I'm going to receive. If you'll do that, the same power that was in Jesus is going to flow out and touch you. Because, listen, That power that healed that woman, do you know where that power is today? Where is that power? It's in you. That same power, not that healed the woman with the issue of blood, but the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Now, do you listen to that? Or do you hear that? You'd be a superman. You'd be a superwoman if you could just barely feel it. There it is. I mean in your flesh. You know why? Because you have so much faith in your senses. So much faith in what you see. So much faith in what you hear. So much faith in what you taste, smell, and touch. Because that's how we're built. But then God says you're going to have to go to another way of believing. You're going to have to go to, you can't believe what you see. You can't believe what you hear. You can't believe what you touch, feel, or smell. You're going to have to believe the Word of God over everything else your senses tell you. Well, that would be totally impossible unless we were given information that could supersede human emotion and human feeling. That's what we've got. We've got information that can supersede the human experience, the human emotion, and all of the human senses. You don't have to see it to have it. Oh, come on. You guys need to start dreaming about heaven. Because when I say you don't have to see it to have it, I'm talking about everything God's laying up for you in the unseen realm. What's that little book we read about heaven? What's that book we read? Within the Gates. I was reading on it the other day. How graphic the descriptions of heaven were. This lady, she went into her own, she began to describe all of this. I don't see how you could have made that up. That book is so real. I don't see how you could have made that up. But what she talks about is this perfect order. Everybody has this home that has been built for them. That has been built for them. And she said what's amazing about it, when she walked into her home, it was built exactly according to her taste on the earth. Said everything on the earth that gave you joy, that gave you pleasure, that you loved, was greatly enhanced by heaven and by the glory of Almighty God. Listen, we're just, you think of the rich people of the earth, how wealthy they are, how much money, how much land they may have, how many mansions they have. They have nothing. Nothing. Because everything they have is just in this realm right here. But what God has laid up for us, amen, is eternal and forever settled in heaven. And God wants you as healed as you are saved. And throughout the Gospels is all of these, I literally call them conduits, or literally entrances into God's healing realm. Every one of these stories. This one right here is a story within a story. Jairus, he's trying to get his daughter healed. She's dying. And then all of a sudden, his miracle gets interrupted. They're going to his house. But here's this woman with an issue of blood who had no right to be on that street. The person that had the right to enforce the law on her was Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, who should have gone to her and said, "Woman, what are you doing on this street?" and got some of the Sanhedrin guards to remove her. He was probably thinking, or he could have thought, "I should have dealt with that woman a long time ago." But he did not think that. He just stayed close to Jesus. And he saw all of this spectacle of this sick woman being healed, coming and falling down at Jesus' feet, getting up and telling him all the truth. What did she say? This is what she said. You ready? You know what she said? You know? She said, "I was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. I spent everything I had on every doctor I knew. I didn't get any better, but I grew worse. But I heard of you, Jesus. And I said when I heard of you, when I touched the hem of your garment, I'm going to be whole. And I kept saying that and saying that till the day you came to my town. And when you did, I fought in the street to get to your garment. And when I touched your garment, you made me whole." Amen. Woo! Now, why is that so hard? Because we make it hard. Our soul fights it. Our flesh fights it. And people say this, well, if Jesus would do that, I'd get healed. No, because we think, now listen, let me close with this, or I'd go on all night. I'd end up teaching you totally healed. Our problem, listen, here's our problem. It's a flesh problem. It's a soul. If he were here, what are you saying by that? That there were a few people on the earth 2,000 years ago that had an access to God that we don't have today? That the God that we serve was willing to heal just a very minuscule few people as compared to all the people that live on the earth to prove he's good and leave everybody else sick and infirmed? Come on, church. See, our thinking has to change. Our mentality has to change. We have to think the thoughts of God, speak the words of God, then we will have the provision of God. A lot of people are just waiting around for God to do what he's already done. And we think, well, if Jesus was here, he would be much more accessible. We've got to believe him by faith. They did too, because Jesus turned to her, said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. We know it was his power. Why did he say it's your faith? Because he always had that power. Mankind didn't always have that faith. But that faith started coming when Jesus started walking on the earth. Why? Because he's the Word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And everywhere Jesus went, he produced faith in only those that heard it. And if they heard it, they responded to it, they got the miracle. They got what they need. They got the provision. But for us, it's not that. We have a covenant of healing and health, written by the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 53, the prophetic announcement of the covenant. He's wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Transgression and iniquity. That's why we get sick. Sin made the human family sick. Sickness and disease is the physical manifestation of sin's fruit. Amen. You say, well, I'm innocent and I got sick. You don't understand. I'm talking about the world. You have a covenant with God. The devil will attack you with sickness and disease, but he doesn't have a right to do it. He's a criminal spirit. So like any criminal, what's he looking for? An open door, an open window, a car door not locked, an easy mark, or somebody that's using their words. You ever notice how the human language is just embalmed with doubt, unbelief, and death? You can't even have humor with that. Well, I was tickled to death. Well, I thought that pie was so good, I thought it was gonna die. I mean, that's just death. Get all the death out of your vocabulary. I did, years ago. I don't say, oh, I tell you, I'm dying to go. No, I'm not dying to do anything. Nothing's gonna kill me. And if I don't get something, I'm not gonna die. Well, that's just, you know, it doesn't matter. Jesus said, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. That's why a lot of people, when it comes to town, I remember, first time I was really confronted by this, I was in Ireland, and this guy came up to me and said this. He said, I don't believe what you're preaching, and it doesn't work. And I said, yes, you do, and it does. He said, I don't believe what you're preaching and it doesn't work. I said, yes, you do, and it does. He said it again. I don't believe what you're preaching. It doesn't work. I said, yes, it does. Let me show you. What did you just say? I don't believe. And then you said, it doesn't work. I said, it's working perfectly for you. You say with your mouth you don't believe. You believe that in your heart. And you know what? It doesn't work for you. Sorry. That's what I told him. Sorry. He's back the next night. First, she heard. Then she said. Then she did. Then the ball was out of her court. Kind of like Romans chapter 4, where it speaks of Abraham. He was fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was also able to perform. That same dynamic took a hold of that woman on that street that day. You say, what happened? She was fully persuaded that what she'd heard, what did she hear? That guy's garment's anointed. He must be anointed. That guy's garment has healing power. He must have healing power. Amen? So she said it. And she said it. Now listen to this. Her confession gave her the strength to do it. A lot of people get a revelation, but they never have the courage or the strength to do what their confession is saying because they're not saying it enough, or they're not saying it in the right way, or they're not using it as a tool of praise and worship before they use it as a weapon against the devil. Amen? So, bottom line, Pastor, what would you do if you were diagnosed? I'd just begin in the morning to say every day all my healing scriptures, and at the end of the month, I'd say, I believe I receive healing. And I would name whatever infirmity the doctor has diagnosed me with, and I'd say from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, and then I would act like I was healed no matter what my body told me. Won't that hurt? Yes, sir, I've been there and done that, honey. Isn't that uncomfortable? I've been there and done that. I know what it's like to sweat in the motel rooms, to be congested on an international airline flight. You ought to do that sometime. That's really fun. Amen? But you keep fighting. You keep declaring. And I know what it's like to wake up with not a symptom in your body. I know what it's like to wake up after a fight of faith like that and there be no pain. Amen? And then for you not to have the symptom or the pain for decades. You say, why? Because you get healed and you stay healed. Just like you get saved, you get right, you stay right, get healed, you stay healed. Amen? Lift your hands up. Father, we worship you tonight. Thank you for the word of healing. Glory to God. Thank you for it, Father. Say it out loud. Heavenly Father, thank you. You sent your son Jesus, my Savior, my healer. I hear his words. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes, I am the healed of God. He blesses my bread and water. He takes all symptoms, all sickness from the midst of me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I forget not his benefits. Who forgiveth all iniquity, healeth all disease, redeem my life from destruction, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy. My youth is renewed like an eagle's. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You've not given me spirit of fear, but a power, love, a sound mind. I reject depression. I reject confusion. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for a sound and sober mind. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. Say that again. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom, into the dominion of His dear Son. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ sets me free from the law of sin and death. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead abides. It dwells in me. It quickens. It makes alive my mortal body. Not my glorified body. My death-doomed body. My mortal body. Thank you, Father, for the quickening of your word that brings life to me. Now think of this. Think of that confession you just made. How many of you make a similar confession or around the edges of that somehow? Does anybody in here? She went to the place of faith with only this. When I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And she was healed instantly. What are you going with? A whole lot more. A whole lot more. She was not in covenant. Not the covenant you had. She was not in Christ. She was not born again. The Spirit of God did not abide on the inside of her. She was tapping a resource We don't tap the resource. We have it in us. The well is in us. The Bible says with joy we draw. What are you drawing from the well of salvation? What is salvation? Healing, preservation, soundness, safety, and deliverance. Put up your hands. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe I receive from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet your healing power. Devil, get your hands off of my body. I will not yield or submit to sickness or disease. You are invading. You are trespassing. And I evict you in the name of Jesus, the very spirit of infirmity. Leave me and never return. Thank you, Father. I'm healed. I'm going to stay healed in Jesus' name. Amen. You agree? Glory to God. Let's receive an offering real quick. Hallelujah. Anybody know what tonight's offering is? Say it again. Oh, you got it. It's our grace offering. Let me read the scripture. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9. God is able. And we could just stay there and shout. Would you serve a God that wasn't able? Can other people say that about their God? Buddha's able. Buddha's able. Muhammad's able. Nobody ever says that, do they? But our Bible says God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Everybody say grace. Hold your offering up. Say this. Heavenly Father, tonight I sow an offering for grace. Grace in my life, financial, physical, my business, my marriage, every area of my life, I need your grace. So I thank you, Father. You've put a way in your word to appropriate that grace. By faith, I sow, believing I receive, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can hold on to your offerings. We'll receive it when we dismiss. Grab your communion cup since you're there in 2 Corinthians. Just flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I've learned, I didn't really have that appreciation as a traveling minister. I did not, in that almost 20 years of constant traveling, I didn't receive communion very often. I did at my home church, I think maybe half a dozen or a dozen times over all those years. And an ordinance of the church like water baptism. But actually, communion's a little different. I have been water baptized more than once. I was water baptized as a child. But our pastor, Brother J.R. Goodwin, taught that if you ever get away from God and are backslid or in a prodigal condition, you come back to the Lord, you should get baptized again. And I did that. Actually, I did it like three times. I did it once here in Galveston, I did it up in Lamarck, but also did it in the Jordan River in Israel. I mean, I had the chance. Why not? Glory to God. But now, I've learned pastoring now for almost 22 years. I've learned to really appreciate the dynamics of what's in this, because the bottom end of this revelation says, if you understand this, you won't be in the group that can't get healed and that die prematurely. Amen. There was someone that was close to us, and they died very prematurely, actually 32 years of age. And I mean, this person was a dynamic minister of the power and miracles of God. And he was, came up from the same spiritual root that we came up out of, and was a faith person and was believing God, and some of the top faith ministers of that generation laid hands on him and prayed for him, and he died. Boom. I mean, just like that thing got him and just whew. So, the man that preached his funeral was very perplexed about him dying. And at his funeral, he was approached by this person's brother. And he actually said this to this minister. He said, well, I'm not surprised he's dead, because he was in perfect health. He says, I'm not surprised he's dead. And this minister said, why? He said, because he said his whole life he'd never lived to see his 32nd birthday. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to this minister and said this, very simple phrase. He set a spiritual law in motion that he did not change. Amen. So we don't know everything about why people don't receive healing. There are laws that people put into motion. There are things that people do. And the communion service is designed to get you clean, to get you good and clean so you can get good and healed. I'm not just talking about physically in your body. I'm talking about healed in your soul, healed in your finances, healed in your marriage, healed in your relationships, healed in every part of your life, healed from your past, healed of your memories. He wants you healed. So in the communion ordinance, what are the implements? The bread and the blood. The broken body and the shed blood. Which is what? It is the substance. It is the material. Think of this. It is the material substance of our covenant. His literal physical body and his literal blood that was used to redeem us. His body broken, beaten, and bruised, and his blood shed then offered. Oh, my goodness. Well, Pastor, why did it have to be like that? Don't ask me. It wasn't my plan. I'm not the one that makes up the rules. I'm just the one that tries to follow the revelation. Amen. So here in 1 Corinthians 11, another mysterious, awesome, supernatural thing. Why? Why did he give it to Paul? Peter was there at the Last Supper. John was there. He wrote a book in the Bible, actually three in the Bible, John. He wrote the Gospel of John. Then first, second, third, four books. Excuse me, I've got my math wrong. Four books in the Bible. Amen. And then five books. I'm sorry. I keep finding more books John wrote. Anybody know the next one? Revelation. He wrote Revelation. Yeah, so now we got five. Amen. But we have to understand that God picked Paul. And through revelation, not experience. That's the difference. They experienced it. He had a revelation of it. God knows I can't teach anybody out of experience. I've got to teach them by revelation. Amen? So he gave it to the Apostle Paul. Now listen what Paul says. It's amazing how he introduces it. He said, now this verse 23, for I've received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. So he got it from the Lord. He says that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. Everybody say bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it, said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you drink, eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Our guilt was taken. Our sentence commuted. But you can do what? You can step back into it by what? Not understanding this. Step right back into the bondage. Go right back into jail. You know, they take people that go to prison. They'll parole them. They'll give them a chance. Say, okay, we're going to put you out on the street. We're going to watch you for this amount of time. If you don't mess up, everything will be cool. You don't have to do all that time. We're going to parole you. But now if they go back and begin to repeat the same behavior, what happens? They go back for what? Does anybody know? Where's all my convicts? I preached it. Alan took me over to the prison in Rocheron. Oh, this is 20 years ago. And so he'd been after me. So I went over there, and when I walked in there, oh, you should have been there. You say, why? Well, there's about 25 people in there I went to high school with. Crazy George, what's up? You know? So I know a little bit about convicts, amen. But if you're paroled and you get popped for that same crime, you go back and do your full sentence. All that time you did to get paroled, and you start at zero. Amen. So you don't want to do that, amen. No. For as oft as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the... Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty. Now you enter back into guilt. That's where Adam was, see? Shall be guilty of the what? Well, that's one thing you don't want to be guilty of, is the body and the blood of Jesus. But let a man or a woman examine himself. That's what I've done for 40-something years. Listen, let me just say this. You have to work at it to get sin out of your life. If you've not worked at it to get sin out of your life is full of sin. You can deny it. You can act holy. You can do whatever you want to, but you're still sinning, and it's going to write you a paycheck one day. Amen? So examine yourself. And if there's areas of life of sin in your life, begin to address it aggressively. Work at it. I'm not going to do that. And the best way to do that is say, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. Help me. I don't want to be a dope addict. I don't want to be a pervert. Come on, church. Help me. And it's amazing how the Spirit of God will help you. Help clean you. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. You don't need to examine it. It's not going to do you any good. Are you going to get critical? Amen. But let a man or a woman examine himself. So let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. For he that drinketh and eateth, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause or for this reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means die or go into the grave prematurely. For if we would judge ourselves, boy, that is a weighty, weighty, weighty scripture. We are very adept at judging each other and very, very unadapt at judging ourselves. Listen, church, develop the skill of judging yourself. Don't judge me. It don't do you no good. Don't judge the person sitting on. It don't do you. I don't judge Leah, my wife. Does me no good. I judge myself. Amen. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, I don't know if you've ever been chastened of the Lord, but I have. You walk close enough to the Lord, He'll chasten you. And that's a good thing, not a bad thing. That means He's treating you like a father, and you're accepting His fatherhood over your life, submitting to it. Amen? So here's the key. We're fixing to receive the bread. You can take your little communion implement guy here. Take your bread carefully. Hold it in your hand. Now just, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to try to pray it real slow, real simple. But as I pray it, you examine yourself. You do it in your own soul, in your own heart, your own mind. And judge yourself. You say, what does that mean to judge yourself? To put your finger on something and to make a decision to correct it. That's what a judge does. He tries to correct the crime of the criminal or to correct the injustice of whatever civil thing is going on. He tries to correct that. To be a good judge, you have to bring the implementation of the law. You have to interpret and apply the law to be a good judge. What law are we talking about? The law of the Spirit of life. Christ. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne of grace, in the name of Jesus, I know what it's like to fight out of many of these mindsets and addictions that people are so bound with. But tonight, as we judge and examine ourselves, we submit to what you did for us upon the cross, how your body was so broken. Break that bread. So that the power of Satan could be broken over us. And as we receive the bread tonight, we declare our victory. Devil, you are defeated. And Jesus, you are Lord. In our health, you're defeated, devil. Jesus, you're Lord. In our minds, in our soul, we declare that the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ is more than enough to provide the victory that we need. And because of that, with great reverence and honor, we We receive it in Jesus' name. Now, carefully, if you will, peel that little piece back. Try not to spill it. Heavenly Father, what can we say? Your own word, the seed of God, mixed, literally, biologically mixed, in the womb of a virgin with the egg of humanity, and Jesus was birthed. And in his veins, in that precious heart in his chest, pumped the blood of God. Pure, precious, redeeming, the purchasing blood that wrought salvation and bought the church. Father, we ask tonight that the power of the blood be applied to our lives so that whatever bondage the enemy tries to keep us in is broken by the power of that blood. And by the blood of our eternal salvation, thank you for a divine hope that faith can hook to and become the substance of our answer. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may take up the cup. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. Are you healed tonight? Are you saved tonight? Are you blessed tonight? You know why you are? Because you say you are. You are because you say you are. So I don't believe in that. Name it and claim it. You better. There's a lot going on today that we need to make sure we're walking with God where we need to be. Amen? Why don't you stand on your feet? I'll bless the food and dismiss, and we can leave your offerings as you head for the back. I'm sure we have instructions of any kind. Just go eat, huh? That's it. What's that? They'll tell us when we get there. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, we sense your word working in us mightily to deliver us from any ailment, sickness, or disease, and to prepare us for that which is coming. Thank you, Father, for Psalms 91. We declare no evil befalls us, no plague comes nigh us, that angels have charge over us. And Lord, we thank you that in our daily routine of the coming week, although it's a holiday week, we thank you that same grace, that same anointing, and those same angels are encamped round about us. Those that are traveling, those that will be with loved ones, thank you for a special anointing upon their lives to be a witness like never before. We know around the Thanksgiving table, many times it's openly proclaimed. One thing we don't talk about here is religion or politics. So, Father, thank you that we don't have to talk about religion or politics. We can talk about Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Lord, we thank you for a stirring in our heart. Thank you for harvest time. Thank you that our loved ones will not die and go to a sinner's hell. You promised to a Philippian jailer his entire household would be saved. We claim that same promise. And we thank you that this holiday season will bring us one step closer to seeing all of our loved ones in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Now bless our food. Thank you that you bless our bread, water. Take all sickness from the midst of us. Bless our fellowship. You said when we fellowship together, the blood of Jesus is activated and we're cleansed of all sin and unrighteousness. Thank you for our fellowship in Jesus' name. We leave tonight walking in faith and love towards you, Lord. Thank you so much for all the good things you're doing. We walk tonight in love toward one another. Thank you for Island Church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.